those of you who don't know me, I'm an impact player from Paul. My name is Gerard. And I'm talking to you this morning about kingdom culture. Because kingdom is the culture of heaven. And in heaven, everything that happens, happens because God sits on the throne. Jesus came to earth with the primary purpose that heaven could invade the earth. You will agree with me that you know, sin has wrecked this earth. And so when Jesus came from heaven, he brought with him a freshness and the newness and the presence of God. Heaven invaded earth in his person. It invaded earth by his ministry, by his lifestyle. Heaven invaded the earth by the word he proclaimed. Because God's word is powerful. It is alive. It makes a difference. And Jesus invaded earth by the grace that you released. I don't know about you, but I need a lot of grace. We need grace. Grace empowers us. Grace makes it possible for us. When God says go, he releases grace when you obey. And that grace enables us to glorify him. Jesus came to earth to reveal the God of heaven. Isn't that wonderful? The Bible says in John chapter 18, no one has ever seen God. Say with me, no one. No one. And you know what? Jesus came and he revealed who God is. He said the only Son who is truly God and is closest to the Father. Some translation says who is in the bosom of the Father has shown us what God is like. Nobody has seen him. But Jesus come and Jesus revealed unto us who God is. Jesus is the exact imprint. Hebrews says he is the express image of who God is. If you ever wondered what God is like, then you must just focus your eyes on Jesus. Because Jesus is everything that God is. When Philip came and he said, God, just show us the Father and it is enough. Jesus said to him, the Father and me are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. God is not an alien. You know what? He is like Jesus is. And Jesus came, you know, and he revealed God as a Father. It wasn't any new news. In Old Testament times, you know, several times there were scriptures that referred to God as a Father. But Jesus made this the emphasis. God is a Father. God cares. God loves. God wants to be part of your life. Jesus came and when he revealed heaven, his ministry was backed by all the power of heaven. You know what? When Jesus came, everybody took notice of him. You couldn't ignore Jesus. You know, the miracles were just too much. He did miracles, left, right, center. People took notice of him. The crowds that followed him were just too big. And you know what? There was such a controversy around Jesus. It was so intrigued. You know, everyone asked, you know, what do you think about this Jesus? You think he's real? You think he's a sect? You think he's really from God? And the others were saying, no, I think he's just trying to make lots of money. You couldn't ignore him. Because Jesus could prove that God sent him. And you know what? So many of the Pharisees tried and say, you know what? He drives demons out by the power of Beelzebub. You know what? It is by the power of the devil that he operates. It is by the power of the devil that he functions. But you know what? Everybody took notice of Jesus. In Luke 11, verse 20, in the Message, Jesus said, "But if it is God's finger I'm pointing that sends the demons on their way, then God's kingdom is here for sure." There is a power, there is an authority when I send the demons away by the finger of God. You know what? All of heaven backed Jesus up. Even the demon possessed came and worshiped at his feet. You know what? His lifestyle revealed the secret of the heavenly power that he had access to. Jesus had access to a heavenly power. In John 5, Jesus spoke to his disciples. There's one scripture that is very dear to my heart. It's Luke 11, when the disciples came to Jesus and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." You see, they knew that he had the powerhouse. They knew that in one or other way he was connected to God. They could see the miracles. They could see the lifestyle. They could see the way that he speaks to people. They knew God was with him. But they also saw that Jesus spent many hours in prayer. Meeting with God was a priority in Jesus' life. And so they asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray. Like John also teaches disciples to pray." Prayer is so powerful. Prayer is a place where you empty yourself and you focus on the God that has everything that we need. In John 5, Jesus said to his disciples, to the Jews, "I can guarantee this truth." Say with me, guarantee. He said, "I guarantee you this. The Son cannot do anything on his own." This is humbleness. This is humility. He said, "You know what? I can do nothing for myself. He can do only what he sees the Father doing. Indeed, the Son does exactly what the Father does." Jesus said, I've got a relationship with this Father. I'm in connection with this Father. It was like Elijah when God sent him to give a message to Ahab. And Elijah came and he stand before Ahab and he said, "As sure as the God of Israel lives, before whom I stand." You know, there's a place of intimacy that we need. We need to stand in his presence. And Jesus is speaking to the Jews. He say, "I'm not doing my own thing. I was sent here. And only what I see the Father doing, that I do. And I do that exactly." Verse 20, "The Father loves the Son and shows him everything he's doing." Hey, that is great. There's a love relationship. And because there's a love relationship, there's a relationship of trust. Shows him everything. The Father will show him even greater things to do than these things so that you will be amazed. Jesus came and he lived a kingdom lifestyle. You know what? His lifestyle was kingdom. And when you go to Matthew 5-7, it's the Sermon on the Mount. I like to call it the constitution of the kingdom. Because Jesus revealed unto them kingdom life. How does kingdom look like? How does the culture of heaven looks like? It's so different than what's here on earth. You know, the smarter we get and the more technology we have, the more entitled we become. You know, when Eskom goes out, you know, we're up in arms. What's wrong with Eskom? But you know what? We can use that time without the technology to build the relationships we so dearly need. Jesus lived a kingdom lifestyle, a lifestyle of forgiveness, a lifestyle of turning the other cheek, a lifestyle of walking the second mile, which, interestingly, is not very crowded. Going the second mile. And Jesus taught them that, he said that, you know, it's so important to take every word in the book serious. You know what? Jesus believed that this is God's book. And he believed every word in it. You know, there's so many theologians today, they said, you cannot believe everything that God created the heavens and the earth in 7 days. That's too much. You know, a virgin birth? Oh, come on. Get real. But you know, Jesus, he believed every word that's in here. He obeyed it. He said, you know what? To obey this word is so important. He said, and if you teach it to others to do the same, he said, that is bigness. That is greatness in the kingdom of God. I think in verse 17 of Matthew, Jesus said, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. You know what? Old Testament, it's not important anymore. No, Jesus said, I did not come to destroy. I came to fulfill every word that is written in it. That is God's heart. For assuredly, verse 18, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. God's word is important to him. When God speaks, he releases life. He releases grace. He releases spirit life so that you and I may be empowered. Verse 19, whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom. Oh, you know, that scripture is not important. No, everything is important. Because this scripture was God breathed. Came from the very essence of who he is. It came from the very essence of his being. What he said is part of him. It is God breathed. He said, but whoever does and teaches them, that is the least of his commandments, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. God rules and God reigns by his word. God's word is so important. The next one, you know what, when Jesus came, when heaven invaded earth, his words released the penetrating power of heaven. There is power in his word. John 6, verse 63, the Spirit alone gives life. Guys, without the Holy Spirit, we don't have any life. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot have the life of God. Jesus said that unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Unless you're born again, you cannot become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. That's his words. So there is such power. This translation, God's words translation say, human effort accomplishes nothing. You know what? Sometimes we try so hard. We as humans. And if it don't work, we even try harder. It's like this guy that said, you know, doing the same thing over and over again and expect different results. He said, that's the definition of insanity. But sometimes, you know, I don't know if we're religious or what's wrong with us, but we sometimes think if we just can try harder. Sometimes you just need to change it a little bit. Because Jesus said that those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Jesus said the very words I have spoken to you, they are spirit, they are life. They have the power to change your life. They have the power, my words have the power to give you life. They have the power to make you better at what you're doing. They have the power to give you grace to follow him. They have the power to give you grace to obey him. They have the power to give you grace to apply his word. They have power to empower you to live a life that gives glory to him. There's power in his words. The sixth one, his words produces grace for those who heed it, who obey it, and to do it. His words are so important. Every word of God has the power and life to propel it to fulfillment. I think in Isaiah, God says, you know what? My word is like snow. It is like rain. It will do what I want it to do. God's word has so much power. And guys, when we say yes to God, God releases a lot of grace. The old reformers, they had three sayings. They said, sola scriptura, the word alone. Sola fide, which means faith alone. You must believe the word. And then they said, sola gratia, grace alone. Hey guys, when we believe him, when we act on his word, it releases grace. It releases empowering, how do I put it? It releases empowerment in your life so that you can do it. In 2 Corinthians verse 1, Paul is speaking. He says, we then as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. So it is possible that you and I can receive the grace and it doesn't mean anything to us. In another instance, I think it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, the grace of God was not in my life. I didn't receive it. And it didn't work in my life. So Paul said that you and I, we can see the grace of God in vain. In verse 2, he says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. And then it goes on, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. When is the right time? The right time is when God speaks to me. The time to act is when I experience the prompting of the Holy Spirit. When I experience God stirring in my life. When I go and I read the Bible and something just jumps out of this Bible, hitting me between the eyes. That's the right time. And when God speaks, He empowers. You know what? God doesn't act like we in the Western world. When He brought the people of Israel to the border of Israel or Canaan, and He told Moses sent out some spies and let them check out the land. And then they came back. The majority report was a bad report. The majority said, we can't go in there. You know what? These guys, they are giants. Their cities are strong and protected. We're going to be mincemeat when we go in. But two guys, Joshua and Caleb said, let's go. Because God is with us. You know, when God speaks to you, He empowers you. When God speaks to you, it releases grace. And you and I can obey Him, knowing that there's a grace on that word that will take that word to fulfillment. Number 7, the kingdom prayer that Jesus taught His disciples is a vital key to understand the culture of the kingdom. I don't know about you, but prayer is the most intimate way of communing with God, of speaking to Him. When you read Matthew 6, Jesus said, you know, get to a place where you can be all on your own, where you can take your mask off, where you can be yourself, where you don't need to role play, and just speak from your heart. Now Jesus, in His kingdom prayer, Jesus reveals to His disciples what is close or what is dear to the heart of the Father. And He reveals to them what matters the most to God. Actually, what makes heaven tick? What makes heaven different? And you know, when you read Matthew 5-7, this prayer is like, you know, in the middle of it all. He started when He gave this sermon on the mount or this constitution of the kingdom. He starts it off and He say, blessed are you when you know how much you need God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who know how much they need God, because this is the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus said, you know, in Matthew 11, He says, come to me and learn from me, because I am humble. He says, I'm humble. And He finishes off this teaching of the sermon in the mount. He said, if you want to build a life that is stormproof. Anybody here that wants to build a life that is stormproof? Hello? He says, then you need to build your house or your life on the rock, not on the sand. And the rock is His word. Because He says, you know, if you build your house, it doesn't matter where you built it, there will be storms. There will be rain. You know, there will be tornadoes. There will be, you know, all this kind of stuff that wants to destroy your house. He says, but those who hear his word, those who heed to his word, those who do his word, the house will be safe. Live by my word. So Jesus is revealing unto them the heart. What makes the kingdom tick? What makes heaven tick? And then he tells them, fashion your prayers in this way. Pray in this way. This is how you should pray. Build this into your prayer. And then he goes on. The first thing, Matthew 6 verse 9. He starts and he say, our Father in heaven. He starts with the words, our. He starts with us. Because this prayer is not the my Father, it is the our Father. Because unity is so important to God. Unity is a key aspect of the culture of heaven. Because in heaven, there's Father, there's Son, there's Holy Spirit, there's three persons, but they are one being. And heaven comes in motion when there is unity between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In Genesis 1, verse 26, then God said, let us. There's unity in heaven. And guys, this thing about the kingdom, this thing about heaven is not a me thing. It's not a me and Jesus thing. This thing about kingdom, this thing about heaven is what is important to God. One of our shofar values is a purpose to pursue. Where are we going as a movement? To reach nations. To reach generations. By discipling people. By equipping leaders. By planting churches. You know, we're going somewhere. This is not about me and Jesus, you know, sitting on the mountains in Yonkerhoek and having a good time. That's part of it. It's not all of it. Because God's got a bigger purpose for my life. The values of this movement saying, you know, we've got a passion for Jesus. Isn't that so? People to serve. Purpose to pursue and power of belief. We're going to reach it. So there's new churches springing up all over the scene. And maybe God is speaking to you. Maybe he's saying to you, it's time to relocate and go and support one of those churches. Gili Jordan, he's our youth pastor in Paul. He's going to Poch to start a church plant there. And you know what? When you start something, it's the most difficult time of those of that venture. You know, it's like a train. You know, when it rolls out of the station, it uses all the power to get this thing going. But once it's reached its speed, you know, it's happy-go-lucky. Then we can party. But getting this train out of the station is not so easy. And that's when we need the support. God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. So if there is unity in God, we need unity. We must be united in what we believe God called us to do. Somebody said, we are covenanted for purpose. That's why we are together. So Jesus said, our Father who are in heaven, God is a Father. It is not difficult to please God. You just follow his instructions. You just move with him. because he reaches down. He helps us. We sang it this morning over and over. Jesus died on the cross. You know what? He showed his love. He showed his commitment. He is for you. Amen. Then Jesus said, hallowed be your name in verse 9. Let your name be kept holy, say the other translations. Jesus, you know, when you follow him in this kingdom prayer, it's all about God. It's all about his nature, his agenda, his purpose, his plans. Our Father who are in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let your name be kept holy. You know what? God is the reason that heaven exists. And everything in heaven finds its purpose in him. It's all about him. It is all about him, not about my small little agenda. In verse 10, Jesus said, your kingdom come. Kingdom is about God sitting on a throne. And you know what? When God sits on the throne, he reigns. He rules. Heaven is so different. You know what? When you read the Bible, when you read Isaiah, when you read Daniel, when you read Revelation, you see that the angels stand before the throne. And the angels worship the one that sits on the throne. And then God gives them commandments. Then God, you know, he decreed them. He spoke decrees. You know, God says, you know, there's Marionette, you know, she's running Bible school. She needs some help. And he tells Gabriel, it's time to go and help her. And then Gabriel says, God, as soon as I finish this series, as soon as I've ended playing my PlayStation game, God, I will be there. No, they go. They are fiery flames of fire. Hebrews telling us. Louis Brits, his song, In the Hemel is the Heer, dan sê hy, hoe die engel hom aanbid, miljoene in gereedheid voor sy troon. Are you ready? Are you ready to go? Are you ready when God speaks to you? When you walk past that person and God says, stop and pray. Are you ready? You know what? God wants to use us. He wants heaven to invade earth by you and me. The angels are ready. Verse 10, Jesus pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know what? In heaven, God's will happens 24/7. Okay, there's no time in heaven. But you will understand it. God's will happens. His throne is a throne of grace. His throne is a throne of empowerment. You know, you and I can go there. You and I can go there and we can say, please God, please help us. I need you to help me, God. I need you to empower me. I need you to strengthen me, God. I want to go. And the thing that holds us back most of the times is our fear. That's why, if I can believe Facebook, in the Bible, for 365 times, it says, do not fear. Fear is not logic. And the only way that you can conquer your fears is to do the thing that you fear. Step out and do it. You know, so many of us think, you know, courage is the absence of fear. No, courage is to step out in spite of your fears. When God spoke to Moses, you know what? Moses was like, God, I think you've got the wrong person. God, yes, Aaron, sent him. He's far better than me. But God wanted to use Moses. And God wants to use you. You know, Jeremiah said, I'm too young. It's going to be a mess up. Now God knows what he is doing. So that's why God spoke to Jeremiah. When the angel, when Gabriel came to, what's her name, Mary. He said, you're going to give birth to the Messiah. She's like, wow, it's going to be fantastic. But I haven't been with a man. And God gives her a lesson, or Gabriel gives her a lesson in the power of God's word. The Holy Spirit will come over you. You know what? You only need to say, yes, God, to tap in the power of his word. Hebrews 4 verse 16. So we can go confidently to the throne of God's kindness or grace to receive mercy and find kindness, which will help us at the right time. Go when you need that power. Go when you are in need. Matthew 6, 11, in this prayer, give us this day our daily bread. This is not to go to the bakery. To find bread. No, he's talking about heavenly bread. The fifth book of the Bible, chapter 8, verse 3, so he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. You all know manna. Just interesting is, you know, the manna fell out of heaven. It came down. And that Hebrew word means what? What is this? What? That's why it's called manna. But you know, sometimes when God speaks to us, we're like, what? Must I forgive? What? Must I give that amount of money? What? Must I go on missions? What? You want me to speak to my neighbor? God says, I'm sending you the manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone. You cannot live by bread alone. Praise God. We need barbecue. We need fish and chips to live physically. He said, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. The word God speaks to you is the word that will give you life. The word God speaks to you is the word that will bring out the best in you. It's the word that will, you know, it will germinate in your life. And if you believe God and you trust God because he is faithful, that word will grow and it will become a tree. You will be able to do what God speaks to you. Job, in the NIV translation, he said, I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. Oh, it is so important. It is so important that we meditate the word. It is so important that we memorize the word. It is so important that we apply the word, that we do it, that we stand on it, that we declare it, that we proclaim it. Because there's life in God's word. Verse 12 of this prayer. And Jesus said, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. God's nature is forgiveness. He don't have a problem to forgive. Every time you and I go to him and we say, God, please forgive me. When we confess, because the word says you must confess. That is to say the same thing that God is saying about it. God, this thing is chacha. Is he like any? You know, my attitude towards my wife, it stinks a little bit. It stinks up the whole place. Please forgive me, God. Change my heart. When we confess it. When we say it to God as it is, he forgives us. You know what? There's nobody in heaven with grudges or with bitterness. You know, or guys thinking how they have been cheated. God's heart is to forgive. And I don't know about you, sometimes we need lots of grace to forgive. To say, God, I choose to forgive. That's God's heart. That's his nature. Verse 13, he says, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I want to close off here at this verse. We need to cultivate the fear of the Lord in our lives. I think there's one thing that we as pastors need to preach more about. And I think there's one thing that we need as Christians need to read more about is the fear of God. You know what? Because when God sits in heaven, you know what? He rule the heavens and the earth by his word. Are you still with me? Anything God wants to do, he sent out his word. That's why Jesus is the word. He's everything that God wants you and me to know and to be. Are you still with me? And you know, in heaven, his word rules supreme. When God speaks to the angels, they go. You know, whatever God's heart and desire is, he just make a decree. And all of heaven obeys him. We need the fear of God in our lives. The fear of the Lord permeates everything that is in heaven. In Isaiah chapter 11, it speaks about the sevenfold work of the Holy Spirit. And then it speaks about Jesus, the branch of Jesse. You know about that little branch? The shepherd boy? He was looking after his father's sheep when the man of God came to anoint him to be king. And they forgot to invite him. Oh, family problems. Anyway. And then God speaks about Jesus, who is the branch of Jesse. And in Isaiah 11 verse 3 says, his delight is in the fear of the Lord. His delight. It is the fear of the Lord that will keep you and me away from sin. Proverbs 16 verse 6 says, by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. You know that thing is wrong. And you know what? You don't want to embarrass God. You don't want anything in your life that will bring distance between you and God. That your relationship with him is so dear that you won't allow anything that will come in and will ruin that relationship. You know, when you pick up, you know, the spirit of this program on the TV, you stand up and you walk out. Are you still with me? When you read this article, this is not doing me good. The fear of the Lord, by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. 14:27 says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Jesus came to give us life. The Holy Spirit came to give us God's life. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. When the fear of God is in your life, you will pick up the wrong signals of the enemy. You won't be able to, you know, to know factually what is wrong with this thing. But in your spirit, you will pick up something is not right. And you will just step away from it. And guys, this is something that we need to practice. This is something that, say, God, I love you, God. When we pray, we need to declare our affections to God. Are you still with me? Because the Bible says we must love God. And we must love our neighbor. We must declare our affections. We must declare that we love him. We must declare that he is important for us. And when we declare that, you know what? Then the things that is important to him will become important to us. Then the things that will break his heart will break our heart too. Then the things that is important to us. Sorry, then the things that is important to him will become important to us as well. Because in Psalm 2, he says, ask of me and I will give you the nations. God's heart is the nations. God's heart is that one day, all the nations will be there. Every nation will be there. All speaking every language will be there. And everyone will bow their knee before Jesus, confessing that he is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. Let's just stand up and let's just. Can the band just help us, please? Yes. Father God, we just come this morning to you, God. And God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are this awesome God. And thank you that God, that you are this great, majestic God, but you're small enough to bow down. And God, to speak to us. To take care of us, to know where every one of us is. Jesus, that prayer of yours, before you started, you say, you don't need to pray like the heathen because you've got a Father who knows what you need even before you pray. And so, God, we pray this morning that you will change our hearts, God. That the things that is important to you will be important to us. That the things that break your heart, God, will also break our hearts, God. That the widows and those that are poor, God, that our hearts will be touched by them. God, that we will have a heart for the nations. That we will have a heart, God, to see that why Jesus died on the cross, that people will be reconciled to God. And we just glorify you this morning, God. And just where you stand, I just want to challenge you, just react to God. I know God spoke to your heart this morning. I know the Holy Spirit just touched your heart this morning. Just react to what he spoke to you. React to the word that you know, God, you laid your finger on this thing. And just react to him. Oh, Father. Oh, God. Thank you that you're a God that empowers us. You're not a cruel God. You're not a wicked God. You don't expect anything that you didn't put into us. Thank you that you prepares us. Thank you that you equips us. And above all, thank you for your presence, God. Thank you that the life of heaven. Thank you that kingdom life is so different from what we have down here. And we choose this morning, God, to do it your way. We choose this morning, God, to run with your word, God. To be empowered by your word. just give you the glory and the praise. I just sense by the Spirit, I just feel that God wants us to pray for people that says, God, I want to live this life. I want to live this kingdom life. I want to live this heavenly life. But I need you to help me, God. I want to do it. I want to step out in faith, God. And if you can just, you know, just put out your hand to God. Just raise your arm. Just say, God, here I am. I need you to empower me, God. I need you to give me grace, God. Thank you, God. Just keep it there. Just keep it there. Thank you, Jesus. If you have the boldness, I'm going to ask you just to come to the front. Because I believe we need to pray with you just to lay our hands on you. If you've got the boldness, just step to the front. And then we're going to pray with you. Just trust God to do the work in your life that He wants to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.